Hello, thanks for listening. It's another episode of Sacktown Talks by the Nooner with Scott Lay, and I, of course, am Jabron Maciel. This week, we sit down with San Diego Mayor Kevin Faulkner, who made time to come into the studio despite a packed schedule of legislative visits. Though we had a shorter conversation, we got right into interesting and important topics like New Way California, the Republican brand in San Diego, CEQA, housing reform, transportation, and many other issues that I think you'll find interesting and engaging. To our listeners, if you're enjoying the show, please do not hesitate to rate us 5 stars on iTunes and share us with a friend. Help us grow this platform and help us keep the community engaged in conversation. Thank you again. I hope you enjoy the show.
There you go.
Wait, no. It was literally the wrong way. Okay, so like...
I'm happy to help technologically with the podcast this morning.
I can program.
That's okay. We're getting this all on camera. Like,
hey. I literally can't get it to move around.
Hey, folks. Welcome. It's another episode of Sacktown Talks by the Nooner. I, of course, am your host, Jabron Maciel.
We're running out of time.
Scotty doesn't know. Scott Lay is here with us today, of course. And, of course, Mr. Mayor Kevin Faulkner.
Good morning, guys. Thank you. Thanks for
coming in. Hey, so I read this on, I try not to believe everything I read online.
Yeah.
You're the mayor of the biggest city. You're the biggest city in the United States with a Republican mayor of San Diego. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah. So why, I think this actually does a good job of sort of getting us into the New Way stuff.
Yeah, sure.
And sort of the Republican brand under Donald Trump and all,
Yeah.
What is seemingly antithetical to, urban city dwellers
of
Republican brand, and what you sort of, you've sort of transcended that. How does that work out?
No, and I appreciate the question. I mean, on a lot of levels, it's not about partisanship when you're a mayor. when you're running a big city, you have to get results, and you have to get results for everybody. And so whether we're talking about, public safety, streets, environmental issues, a lot of that, as we like to say, are, potholes aren't partisan. So my job is to actually make the city work and bring people together to do it. And yes, I think San Diego has about a 22% Republican registration. So I spend a lot of my time on building coalitions, working with the council. I do have some strong opinions about the direction of our statewide party, and I've been expressing those lately in terms of I think it's incredibly important for us as California Republicans to have a brand that is uniquely ours in California, that is more inclusive. And so, I think there's actually a lot of optimism right now. We just had an election of a new California Republican Party chairwoman in Jessica Patterson, who I think is going to be a breath of fresh air. And so, on the one hand, a lot of what I do is not partisan. On the other hand, when it comes to what I think we need to be doing as a party here in California, like I said, I feel strongly it's time for some significant changes.
So, Scott, we'll let you jump in a second. I just kind of want to talk through this. I'm from San Diego. I grew up in Escondido. Yeah. Then we moved down and went to Mission Bay High School, home of the Buccaneers.
Home of the Buccaneers.
Yeah,
indeed.
Coach Sheehy, you're still in my heart. But there's this idea that like immigrants strain social services, compete with the labor market, depress wages. I mean, gosh, 12 years ago, these were Democratic talking points. Right. And now in the, and don't get me wrong, I'm a Mexican American immigrant. I like to say true blue Democrat, but kind of edging more moderate nowadays. But there is,
you're right wing in many circles these days.
Yeah, I am. But in the rush to sort of oppose Trump, we're kind of opposing all of his policy positions. But there is a certain segment of San Diego that isn't necessarily with everybody on, hey, immigrants, welcome, or is kind of feeling the not the burden, but is kind of feeling like the cultural impacts of migration, right? But you've embraced Tijuana, you've embraced sort of like the border region.
100%.
Yeah, so what's the...
Because it's a strength. It's a competitive advantage. And we do talk about it not as two cities, right? San Diego and Tijuana, but as one region.
Yeah.
We are the largest border crossing in North America. That's an advantage for us. I mean, when we look at jobs and we look at culture, one example, if you take what we're doing in medical device manufacturing in San Diego and what Tijuana is doing, you put them together, we're the largest largest region of medical device manufacturing on the planet.
Yeah.
Sometimes you will have products that will cross the border two or three times before they're finished. That free trade works.
Well, and this is...
And I'm actually going to be talking more about that on the national level. Yeah. But I do spend a lot of time with our neighbors right next door in Mexico.
And San Diego metropolitan area is the fourth largest metropolitan area economically in California, with a GDP of $232 billion. And a lot of that has to do with Mexico and that relationship, that back and forth. And that was something that was completely ignored when it was like, oh, we're just going to shut the border crossing on a given day for... You know, for headline news.
Yeah, I guess
when
my question,
people go back and forth for work and for school, et cetera.
Yeah, I guess my question is, how do you relate to that wing of your party?
Well, I talk about what I think is common sense. There's a lot of us in the Republican Party that understand that common sense, that understand how important it is. I mean, look, we have 100,000 jobs in the San Diego region that are reliant on trade with Mexico. That's just common, you know, sense, nuts and bolts. So I talk a lot about our success story as a border region, guys, because if we're not talking about that story of success, nobody else is going to tell it for us. And so when I have the opportunity to talk about it, you know, across the country and across Washington, D.C., I think it's important to give that perspective. Yes, we're always going to have issues as a border region, but let's not lose sight of the strengths. And how do you solve problems? You work together. I mean, when we look at, you know, the Tijuana and San Diego region, we breathe the same air. We have the same watersheds. I mean, we cross-train together. Our public safety folks and firefighters are just an example. The more we're connecting with each other, the better off both of our countries are.
Well, Gibran brings up an interesting issue as to where do you go in the Republican Party. You're kind of just a good guy, middle-of-the-road person.
I'll take that, I think.
To most people. But you also supported the pension reform measure that became Prop B in 2012.
You know, I had someone tell me, you know, he's not a milk and cookies kind of guy.
No.
Like, you know, from the Democratic side, you know, right. Like the worker stuff and all that. So
right now, the California Supreme Court has said that because then Mayor Sanders was the backer of the initiative that became Prop B, because he had an official role, there was an obligation to negotiate with city unions before Prop B went to the ballot. It's going to be, the California Supreme Court says, yeah, there has to be negotiated. The Fourth Circuit Court of Appeal is currently deciding. How do you unravel that?
So it is in the court.
I don't want to, it's in the legal process. I don't want to put you on the spot because of that, but you know, where are things at right now with public, you know, with the relations with public employees because of this issue?
Prop B works, first and foremost. And the Supreme Court did not overturn Prop B. Yes, it is back in the Court of Appeals for solutions. It's hard to predict what will happen.
Right.
But again, back to, this is not a partisan issue. This was the right thing to do from a sustainability standpoint from our city. After years with deliberate underfunding of the pensions that literally had San Diego on the verge of bankruptcy, and we're still paying the price of that today. Every year we pay $100 million for the deliberate underfunding mistakes of the past. What could I do with $100 million as mayor in terms of what we're doing with police, firefighters, parks, libraries? No. That was a travesty what happened. And so when we put that before the voters, pension reform passed overwhelmingly, 65%. Again, remember, San Diego's about 22% Republican registration. Democrats, independents, Republicans support it because it was common sense from a long-term sustainability standpoint. We are attracting good and bright people to the city of San Diego under a new 401k system. It works. So I'm a strong proponent of pension reform, not just for San Diego, but we will have to do that on a statewide basis as well, because as that grows, it crowds out all of the other services that so many people rely on.
And then there's the thing too, like when you get behind, because this is the secret sauce of the pension investments is time, right? It needs time in the market. So if you deliberately underfund it, you can't play catch up, right? Because it needs time to grow.
You pay more.
Were in between.
You tell me what the rate of return is going to be in 5 years, right?
Well, if you ask CalPERS, it's going to be 11%,
so
right?
San Diego
according
had,
to CalPERS, I bet it's not going to be.
San Diego had a defined benefit pension system that was more lucrative than CalPERS. And so Prop B was a jump all the way over to defined contribution, like a 401k that most people are familiar with. Yeah. now that it's in the courts, is there some regret that there hadn't just been a movement toward, let's just go with CalPERS?
Not at all.
Because the state actually, the state's doing pretty well under CalPERS.
But again, look at the back to the mistakes of the past in that system where you had elected officials that deliberately underfunded it. Yeah. We have to get out of that business. It is working now. It's predictable. It's fair. You know what your costs are going to be. And as I said, I think the proof is we're hiring good quality employees, you know, good, generous 401k program. That works. To go back to repeat those mistakes of the past would be not only wrong for San Diego, but again, this is not just a San Diego issue. If you see other cities up and down the state of California and indeed the state itself, when you underfund, when you don't... You never catch up.
Yeah, you never catch up.
You never catch up. But here's what happens. You have to throw more money at it. So you go back to the voters and ask for tax increases.
Oh, they're trying to put a fire out.
And you're crowding out all of the other public services that we should be delivering. Well, that's why pension reform is so important.
And this is not unlike the issue we're seeing in the contracts that are emerging after teacher strikes that are short-term. Oh, we pencil this out over the next couple of years. But frankly, long-term, once you figure out... you know, how education salary schedules work, it doesn't work. And so it's short-term decision-making by short-term leaders, whether they be on either side of the bargaining table for their own current benefit, stop people marching in the street, stop a strike, get kids back in the classroom because that's where the state money flows to. But it's very short-sighted, and I think that's what you're talking about. Now, I'm a CalPERS member. I like defined benefit.
Yeah. Why are you taking the food off Scott's table? I'm just kidding.
No, I'm done. I've walked away.
No, you know what? One of the things I love about politics is how everyone lies so much. Not you, Mr. Mayor. You're keeping it real here. But
I lie all the time.
No, but you know, one of the sort of overarching.
My last name is Lay.
So I'll let you guys go at it. No, that's okay.
No, but, you know, we're always kind of like having this like these pretend conversations. Like, oh, everyone can win. You know, we can find a solution that works for everybody. As if it were not a zero-sum game.
Right.
You know, budgets are zero-sum games, right? And I think one of the interesting things that's going to happen over the next, you know, decade and a half to two decades is that some of these traditional bedfellows are going to start looking at each other sideways. Like, they want what for their pensions? Because as the pension obligations start to crowd out education, they start to crowd out social services, they start to crowd out...
we're going to get split
police role. And fire.
Well, okay. No, that's a great example of why that should not pass. Because it just enables the bad behavior in terms of not making the reform that we need to do. It was not easy in San Diego. It was contentious, but at the end of the day, why it was so strongly supported again by across the political spectrum, is because people saw the need. And when you're cutting back library hours, when you're cutting back rec center hours, when you're not hiring cops and firefighters, when you're not paving streets, all of which happened in San Diego,
and that same year you're making a huge pension.
Same time your pension is growing, I would submit to you that's going the wrong direction.
I would submit to you that cops were given a special political excuse out of Prop B as well, as they were given a whole different.
Oh yeah, you wouldn't be able to pass Prop B if the cops were included, right? I mean,
so.
Is that right?
He doesn't need to talk about that.
No. I'm happy to talk about anything. That's why I'm here.
I get the sense he's on a. Yeah, I got the sense he's on a.
We like Kevin.
No, but look, the police officers were not included in Prop B. I think for all of the right reasons in terms of competition and others. And I think the proof is how it's working. And you know, we're giving raises and targeted raises where we need to, but not just across the board. Everybody gets the same. That is no way to run a city, and it's no way to run a state.
Yeah, you know, were the firefighters included too, or
no? They were excluded. They were included.
They were included.
Only the police got given a different treatment.
Okay, got it. You're actually up here for housing.
That's what I want to talk about.
Yeah.
I was just going to transition.
We got right into
that's
it.
That's okay.
Is Gavin completely screwed up in trying to tie transportation funds to housing?
Well, I think the state's screwed up. We met with the governor yesterday, and I'm up here with some of the big city mayors across the state on the issues of housing and homelessness, and particularly on homelessness. You know, I feel very strongly and passionately, as an example, that when the state ended redevelopment 6 years ago, that's been a travesty. That was our number one source of affordable housing. And so when you see the units that are not being produced from a program that worked, you see the crisis that is on the street. Streets in San Diego, in every city, not just big city in California, but every city. And so we are bringing that sense of urgency to the governor on the issues of homelessness. On the issues of housing, I'm spending a lot of time on that right now in San Diego. And yes, there's a lot of activity up here at the state, but I'm really trying to help control our own destiny. So I put forward some pretty significant reforms, one of which we just decoupled parking from housing and transportation corridors. The council just passed that overwhelmingly.
Los Angeles had done it earlier this week. Yeah.
And I've got some significant reforms when it comes to allowing a density and by right along transportation corridors. I think that's the right thing to do. I'm going to get pushback. The forces that don't want anything built are out there. NIMBYism is a strong sentiment. But either you have a housing crisis or you don't. And we do. And so what I'm trying to do is to put forward, I think, policies that will work, where you will have the growth and development where we've always said, already said as a city, here's where we want it, along multifamily zones and transportation corridors. I think it's the right thing to do. I think it's going to help. But as I said, that won't be easy.
You know, I feel like NIMBYism in reality is just opportunity hoarding. And it's kind of excluding people from sort of the American dream. And to me, it's not too much different than these folks that pay to get their kids into college. You know, it's just like, hey, I got mine. Now let's restrict development and, you know, good luck out there. You know, I think probably one of the most disgusting examples I saw in San Diego was when they were trying to turn the Thomas Jefferson School of Law into the veterans home. And the Bankers Hill Community Association was just not having it.
Yeah, you remember that well. I fought to make that happen. That wasn't easy. I did a lot of community forums where I looked folks right in the eye and I said, "Well, wait a second. We're gonna help these men and women that have served our country. That is not something to be feared. It's something to be embraced."
Yeah. Well, let's give the listeners a little bit of background on this. It was like a nice building in Little Italy, Bankers Hill, right? Law school. Pulled out of it, they wanted to turn it into housing for veterans, and the community was just no way, right? And you actually helped.
Yeah, no, I did. Yeah. That's back when I was on the city council and represented that area. Look, I get it. Fear is a powerful human emotion, but you cannot let it drive doing the right thing. Yeah. And so we spent a lot of time working with the community and others. We finally got that across the finish line, and so I get. You know, fear of change is always going to be powerful. But to your point, if we want to have people actually live in San Diego, if my kids want to be able to afford a house in San Diego one day or anywhere in California, we have to provide more housing. And so we have to do it in a way that I think is thoughtful, aware where you want it, particularly, as I said, close to transit. If we're going to hit some of our climate action goals, which I feel passionately about, we have to make change and do things differently. Change is not always easy to occur, but I'm so committed to it, which is why we're doing this as a citywide policy. I have seen, guys, projects get stopped. So many good projects in San Diego for all of the wrong reasons. For NIMBYs, whether it's organized labor using CEQA to stop projects, we have to make these changes. And that's one of the things that I talked with the governor yesterday about. We have to do this on a statewide level.
Well, no, and I was mentioning, you know, our last, I think, What a Week podcast, we were talking about CEQA and how it's rarely used about the environment and is used rather in the NIMBY interest.
Yeah, I had one of my best
to get a project labor agreement, it is. Yeah. That sort of thing.
Yeah, one of my best jiu-jitsu buddies that I had on the podcast was like, you know, you show me an environmental regulation, because he's a developer. He says, you know, you show me a regulation, I'm showing you a constraint into entry into the market. Like, I'm already established. You show me a regulation, it's actually just helps me keep my foothold, you know? So, you know, you guys constrain the market, the guys who are established are already actually going to make more money, you know? So, you know, what he said was, if you guys want to really fix the housing crisis, make it easier to build. And we'll overbuild and, you know, give
wow,
us
what,
enough.
What a thought.
Yeah, right?
Well, there's a great...
Do you have any hope? Do you have any realistic hope for, like, CEQA reform under the Newsom administration? Or is he... He got his hands tied.
We'll see. It has a lot to do with what happens in the legislature. I mean, look, it's been no secret that some in organized labor like the ability to stop projects using CEQA if they don't have project labor agreements or others. Exactly. Okay, that's reality. But why the policy that I'm doing in San Diego is we're going to do a citywide EIR to make sure we're complying with CEQA. But again, I want to be able to provide that opportunity for housing where it makes sense, not just in certain, you know, here or there, but citywide along these transportation corridors. We have to make those changes. You know, I hope it's something that gets addressed this year at the state, but I'm not waiting for it.
We previously sat down with Brian Manshine and Lorena Gonzalez, and we somewhat talked about San Diego being this kind of post-partisan region where you have people that can transcend political parties, and everything's not engineered at the Democratic Central Committee, for example. What are your thoughts on that about San Diego? I mean, we have to go back to, you know, Pete Wilson. Before Pete Wilson, you know, got into the reelection and the presidential bid and went hard right, you know, he was just a very pragmatic, a Kevin Falconer type of guy from San Diego. Jerry Sanders, very similar as mayor. Yeah. And Manchin.
So, look, I think there's a lot of truth to we're not hyper-partisan at the local level. I think that's a good thing. you're certainly going to have flare-ups, and that's part of life. But again, back to how I approach the job, if you will. I'm not the Republican mayor of San Diego. I'm the mayor of San Diego. My job is to get things done. And you got to be able to work with everybody. I have a majority Democratic city council. It's about getting, you know, good ideas, getting results across the finish line. That's what I was elected to do. So I don't spend a ton of time on partisanship.
Somebody asked me, you know, after you leave office after next year's election, your term limited, will you have more time to go to Padres games and look for someone to share season tickets with again? I don't know if you know who this is.
I don't know who that is.
But it was,
I hope I'll have more time to go to Padres game. I'm actually, you know, spring training is almost done and hope springs eternal. But I like the moves the team has made.
When I used to travel a lot for community colleges, when I was representing community colleges, I spent a lot of time in San Diego and love it. It's a great city. I grew up, actually, my dad shared a boat with somebody that was moored in at Mission Bay,
at
the marina right over there near SeaWorld. So I've always had an affinity for San Diego and had nothing to do with the fact that I would crash
boat. You need to come back down and spend money.
And go to, I would crash on the boat and go to TJ because I was 19. But when I was with the community colleges, I'd stay at the Kimpton Hotel because I had privileges there, and I'd get upgraded right over the ballpark.
It's just the most gorgeous downtown.
It is so an amazing downtown. So sing a little more praises about San Diego for our listeners.
What part of town do you live in?
The Point Loma area.
Oh, good for you, man. Hey, I was just curious. That's one of my favorite. Point Loma down to Ocean Beach, get some surfing in. In all seriousness, so what is next for you? After I know we got to get you out of here. So
that's a lifetime in politics, right? I've got almost a year and a half left. So we've got some big. So to answer your question directly, I don't know. My job is to really finish strong. We've got some big items, you know, ahead of us. You talked about budget. We're putting that to bed right now. I feel strongly about expanding our convention center. You know, that will be on the ballot here. So there's a lot of big civic things that I care passionately about.
What's the issue on the expansion of the convention center?
It's finally got the signatures, and so it will be on the ballot. Now, it's
why
just
is it a problem?
Time.
There's nowhere to put it.
We want to grow it, obviously.
Well, there's space, but it's there are political problems.
It's coastal California. you get lawsuits. You get people that don't want that to happen. But from an economic standpoint, from a tourism standpoint, as your listeners know, Comic-Con, how important that is to us in San Diego to continue to grow them and others, for all of the right reasons, we need to expand.
Is the convention center tied to the airport, though? Because, I mean, I heard, like, mathematically, you can't get enough flights into the airport to really fill up, like, an expanded convention center.
No, we have absolutely the ability to do that.
Yeah.
And in fact, and I know we're running out of time here today, but one of the big projects that I also feel strong about we're working on Sandag is to once and for all have a connection from our trolley to the airport and not just drive by it and wave at it, right? And so we can do that as San Diegans. Again, it's a bigger idea, one that perhaps we're not used to.
But nothing is easy.
A lot of time. Of course, it's not easy. But if you want to have a transit system that works, you're going to have to do that. So I'm going to put a lot of time, effort, and likely political capital to try to get that across the finish line as well.
Okay. Any last thoughts here?
No, it's been a great pleasure.
The time, guys. Thank you.
I first met him. I introduced myself. Hi, Mr. Mayor. He's like, no, Kevin. So I feel definitely like we got Kevin across the table.
Kevin's here today, and I look forward to coming back.
Yeah. Where can folks find you on Twitter?
What's the best way these days, Matt?
@Kevin_Faulkner.
You got it. I think I have already tagged him a couple times today from a Twitter sense.
Great.
That's the best one.
It's episode number 51. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.